97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Stasek with you, getting his mic all twisted around, ready to go. Good start. Dylan, does it sound a little better? Not as hollow? Dylan, sounds better? All right, baby. We're broadcasting live from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Joe Stasek in the house till midnight tonight. Football Sunday without the birds. What'd you do today? Oh, that was a rough one. The bye is certainly a necessary evil, but I don't like it. You know, I look forward to birds, you know, 7 days a week, 10 days a week, whatever the case, and didn't get my fill of Eagles today, although I did watch some other games. What an unbelievable finish. Carolina-Green Bay game, that was the National 430 game. We'll talk about that a little bit. Sixers coming off a big win. You heard here right on 97.5, the Fanatic, 114-106 over the Charlotte Hornets. 8-point win. I don't know what the number was. Probably covered the number. They were down 5 at the half after Charlotte went on a 23-6 run to close out the first half. Joel Embiid played 26 minutes tonight. 18 points. Rather pedestrian game. 6 of 10 from the field. 0 of 1 from the 3-point line behind the arc. Al Horford, 15 points. Tobias Harris, 14 points. Josh Richardson, 11 points. They shot 35.7% from three-point land. So the Sixers are now 6-3. They snapped their three-game losing streak. I'm going to talk about two teams tonight. One I'm optimistic about, and the other I don't know if it's pessimistic or just questioning the makeup of. And that's the 76ers. They don't have a shooter. You can't win without having a sniper or two. You can't. I'm sorry. It's not a big man's game anymore. They don't have that. And they went into the season without it. Josh Richardson, probably their best three-point shooter, although Tobias Harris was about 45% coming here from the clip joint and hasn't lived up to that. He was 0 of 1 from 3, only took 1 3-pointer tonight. But we're told they have 2 bona fide stars. And Tobias Harris makes Kawhi Leonard like money. Do we have to wait a year for this team to mesh? You know, we've talked about it before. I talk about it with Steve Callis all the time. A new team needs about a year to mesh, just like last year's team. Wasn't really put together all together till February when Tobias Harris was traded here. They needed a little bit more time. I think heading into the playoffs, they'd only played 10 or 12 games together, and she still made a nice run. I think if that team stayed together, they'd be better than this team. I think they were more talented, and they had a closer in Jimmy Buckets. They don't have a closer anymore. I think Joel Embiid is their closer, and he's not fourth quarter dominant. He's clearly out of shape. The other star refuses to shoot in a game, despite what we saw over the summer, all those videos of him knocking down trays, and I said it's, you know, these are just highlight reels you put together. You can make anybody or anything look great with just a few clips, taking the best of. But he can make shots, made a 3-pointer in the preseason. He can shoot, he just refuses to shoot. Brett Brown has known him since he was a kid. Is he the right coach for this squad? I'm not so sure anymore. Is he too Kapler-like? Someone should have sat down with Joel Embiid after that embarrassment with Karl Anthony Towns and straightened him out a little bit. I don't know if Brett Brown did that. I don't think, I would imagine he did not. Why do they play like dogs on the road? Are they more hype than they are heart? You know, we kind of got suckered by the Phillies who did not have pitching. We got suckered by the Eagles who did not have good receivers, despite what we thought going into the year, although they did lose DeSean Jackson. Are we being suckered by the big hype 76ers who don't have three-point shooters? I think yes. Now, they won tonight, snapped a three-game skid, 6-3. It's not bad. They're on course for what? 55-win season? I said 50. I don't think they're better than last year. Joel Embiid put the number at 60. Way too high if you're asking my opinion. You know, who's responsible for an offense that consistently goes down the court time and time again without a shot or drawing a foul when they have big leads? Who's going to manage the last 3 minutes of a game? They've lost the last three games by 10 points total in that three-game losing streak. Do other teams have such trouble integrating players? Seems like we do. Joel Embiid has made himself into a villain slash kind of crybaby status where he doesn't get calls. When does he show that he hates to lose besides crying after last year's Toronto series? And to me, you know, that just didn't sit right with me. He didn't seem like he hated to lose. And now he's crying after a series when he kind of came up short with the upper respiratory infection, you know, the common cold, walking into the arena, head down, despondent, not acting like a leader. I'm concerned about this team going forward. Good win tonight. Very good win tonight, although Charlotte's 4-6 on the year. Again, 6-6-3 on the year. But I'm concerned going forward. I don't think it's a better team than last year, despite what everyone thinks. You need shooters. This team does not have shooters. And one of their stars refuses to shoot. We're going to go through another year of this? Seriously? After what we were fed this offseason? And I saw Ben in those videos burying three-pointers from half court, having a contest with his trainer. He swished one in the preseason. I know, no big deal. He swished a bucket and the place went nuts. I thought it was embarrassing. I was embarrassed for him. But he's still not taking those 10 to 15-foot, you know, mid-range shots. Forget about three-pointers. I sat here with Dee Lynam, did a show. She said he'll make about 15 three-pointers this year. I said he's not even going to take 15 three-pointers. She guaranteed me he's going to, so I will defer to her because she knows what she's talking about and me not so much. But I need to see it. I don't see that. And to me, Joel Embiid isn't the closer he should be. Hangs out too much on the perimeter, likes to take threes. And he's out of shape. How is that possible? That he's out of shape. I don't care that he missed three games. Playing games isn't the only way to get or stay in shape. Hit the cardio hard when you're not playing. How is he out of shape? I don't get that. It's a concern to me. Now, on the optimistic side, we have your team, your town, your Philadelphia Eagles, 5-4, enjoying the week off. I don't know what they're doing. I know a lot of players don't watch football. When they're off, despite what we think, they're all watching ball. They don't. They do their other things. They get away from it. They may be watching the Dallas Vikings game tonight. Now, I picked the Vikings in this one. They're 2.5-point dogs. I picked them to win outright. They're up 7-0 right now. Dallas has all the talent in the world. They are extremely talented. But just an above-average team. Can't pinpoint it. The only thing I can conclude is that it's coaching. It doesn't take this team to the next level, because I think Dak's a quarterback who can take this team to the next level. But they are loaded on both sides of the ball. That offensive line, 3 first-round picks, Tyron Smith, Travis Frederick, Zach Martin, and they also picked up Lyle Collins as an unsigned free agent after that murder scandal that went down right before the draft. They jumped on him. Dak in the 4th round, Zeke, number 4 pick, still have Jason Witten, believe it or not. 6 impact guys on offense. On defense, 5 impact guys. They had one of the best linebackers in the league in Jalen Smith. Then they go out and get, you know, Leighton Vander Esch, who's an absolute star. They still have Sean Lee, homegrown, Malik Collins, DeMarcus Lawrence. But to me, they're just an above-average football team. I'm not that scared of Dallas going forward. And we're going to have Marcus Hayes on in about an hour. He wrote an article about, you know, why the long faces. Maybe he read my article, copied it, because I said the same thing. Last week's article, it's on 97.5, the Fanatic right now, is Birds fans need to adjust their expectations. They got hammered after a sound win over the Chicago Bears last week. 22-14. Coming off a big win on the road in Buffalo in inclement weather, scoring 31 points. They've run the ball consistently well over the last two games. And Carson Wentz hasn't really turned the ball over, which he doesn't do. 15 touchdowns, 4 picks this year. That's his... He's got a lot of strengths. That's tops on the list for me. Ball security. Now, he fumbles, but he doesn't throw a lot of picks. They had 7 turnovers in the two losses to the Vikings and the Cowboys, respectively. They were a -4. They were a +1 in the last two games. Tells you something about turnovers. I talk about them all the time. They pushed the Bears around the field last week. 9 yards in the first half. Haven't done that in 32 years. Carson Wentz, 239 yards and a touchdown. No turnovers. They capped the day with a 16-play, 69-yard drive, consuming 8 minutes and 14 seconds, ending in a field goal to put the team up by 8 with 25 seconds left. That's called closing it out. The backs had 13 carries for 131 yards. I hate when I hear they rushed for $1.56, but they include like Carson Wentz's numbers and the jet sweeps to Nelson Aguilar. Drop that, please. I just want to know what the running backs did. To me, those aren't rushing yards. Those are in a separate category. So I just talk about the backs. I look at the backs. 31 carries, 131 yards. They've been extremely effective when they run the ball. In their 5 wins this year, 25 carries, 117 yards versus Washington. 27 carries, 163 yards versus the Pack. 31 carries, 176 versus the Bills. And 31 carries for 131 versus the Bears. Those are 4 wins. I'm sorry. The Jets game, they did not run the ball all that well. And these are big-time numbers. And I heard Rob Motti talking about it earlier today that, and he did this to include the Eagles, 11 of the top 12 rushing teams, Eagles being number 12, are winning teams with winning records. On the passing side of the ball, 9 of 12 of the leading passing teams have winning records. Tells you it's almost more effective to run the ball well, which is what the Eagles are doing. They don't have the weapons on offense from a receiving standpoint. In fact, it's Dreck. But if they can run the ball like they have been, and Carson Wentz can be, he hasn't been great, but he's been good. I don't think he can be great with what he's throwing to, who he's throwing to. Zach Ertz is going to get doubled and bracketed left and right going forward. I have no idea how he had 9 catches for 103 last week. When you know he's their go-to guy, it's not Alshon Jeffrey who dropped 3 more balls. It's not Nelson Aguilar, who's marginal at best. He peaked in 2017, which was nice, helped win a Super Bowl. Now he's kind of back in between where he was with his first 2 years and the Super Bowl season. He's not the answer. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, please. Mac Hollins, please. 2 busts. 2 draft pick busts. I know it's early. I'm calling them busts. Right here, right now. But why the long faces? And Marcus Hayes wrote this article, and he's going to come up at 1 hour from now to talk about it. I'm feeling good about this team going forward. I don't think it's a great team. I think it's an average team to above average. You know, they can play very well. But even when they play well, it's, you know, I still compare it to 2017 when they were just blowing the doors off of folks and that offense was just clicking and they were a quick strike offense. You didn't see the 12 plays, 15 plays, 69, 75-yard drives. I mean, we're talking 2 minutes. Boom, 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 boom. 5 plays right down the field. Carson Wentz would have a 3-touchdown game, a 4-touchdown game. Another 3-touchdown game in consecutive games, back-to-back-to-back games. I mean, they were cooking. They don't do that anymore. Didn't do it last year. Again, I attribute that to the loss of Frank Reich. I really do. But he's gone. Nothing you can do about it now. No need to worry about it or fret about it. It's done. But I have faith in Doug. He's a good closer. Look how he closed the season last year with a backup quarterback. Won the last three games to resurrect this team with Nick Foles. Yes, granted, Nick Foles, that tells you even more about Doug Peterson, that he can do it with a backup quarterback. Even though Nick Foles is probably the best backup quarterback in the history of the planet. Super Bowl season, a run right through to the New England game. And there's no reason they can't win five of their last six games this year. And Dallas has a ridiculous schedule going forward. That's why I like the Birds. They have to be at least tied with the Cowboys before that game on December 22nd, because if they're a game behind and they're not winning the tiebreaker, well, they're done. Because even if they win, they lose the tiebreaker. But listen to the schedule Dallas has. First of all, they're playing the Vikings tonight. Brent Maher missed the field goal. Vikings are up 14-0. I picked them to win outright. It looks like it's going in that direction. No shame to lose to the Vikings. Kirk Cousins has been Joe Montana the last 4 weeks. So unless they come back from 14 down, that's a loss for the Cowboys. They'll be 5-4. Then they go into Detroit without Matt Stafford. He's got that hip and back problem. Didn't really play today. They lost to the Bears today by 7. Then they got to go to Foxborough. They have to go to Foxborough on the 24th. Then a short turnaround. They play at home to the Bills, who aren't great, but they're a formidable squad. Lost today to the Browns. I like the Browns in that game, minus the 3 points, even though the Browns shouldn't have been favored by 3 over anybody. But that's why I took that game, because I thought it looked out of whack. They gave up a safety. They probably should have covered. I think they pushed. Anyway, then they have to go into Soldier Field, play the Bears, not a great team. Played okay today. Mitch Trubisky, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Very good defense, top 5 defense. Then they host the Rams. Then they got the Rams, one of the better teams in the NFC. Then they play the Eagles on December 22nd. The Eagles are going to have a 1-game lead, at least, heading into that game, in my opinion. I think they split the next 2 games. Probably lose to the Pats. Beat Seattle. Fortunately, both games are at home. Wouldn't be shocked if they beat the Pats. Again, I was one of the few people around here to like the fact that they lost last week to the Ravens. There's precedent to believe that they are vulnerable to back-to-back losses. Happened twice last year. Happened in 2015. After a 10-game winning streak, they lose to the Broncos. Everyone thinks they're going to whack the Eagles. Eagles go into Foxborough, win that game. 3 non-offensive touchdowns. And they were bad that year. That was Chip Kelly's last hoorah. They were bad. Any given Sunday, 610-632-0975. Let's go out to the phone lines. But again, the gauntlet has been laid down. Are you concerned about the Sixers despite a win tonight? And are you still cynical about the Eagles? I couldn't believe the cynicism. And I'm Mr. Cynical. I get killed for being Mr. Negadelphia. I don't think I am. I think I'm realistic. I'm not afraid to say what I think and how I see things. I get killed for being negative. I'm not here to, push the pom-poms. Just not. But I was okay after the last 2 games. People came out of the gate criticizing this team for letting that Bears team get back in the game. Hey, it happens. They get paid too. They score 18 points a game. They only scored 14 against the Birds. They gave up 17 points a game. They gave up 22 against the Birds last week. Birds manhandled the Bears. Yeah, they went to sleep for about 17 minutes in the second half. They went to sleep. Don't like to see that. Like to see the same intensity. Gave up a big play. 53-yard catch. Taylor Gabrielson, I think it was. Led to a 14-point burst by the Bears, and it got hairy. I admit that it got hairy. But again, the Bears are a decent team. Not a good team, decent team. Game here or there, and they have a winning record. They're 4-5 now. Birds are 5-4. people were killing the Eagles. Killing the Eagles. And I just don't get it. I think they're on the up. They're on the uptick. And I think they win five of the last six, and they split the next two. That's a 10-6 record. That gets it done, in my opinion, with what Dallas has to face the next 4 or 5 weeks. Eagles are through the bulk of their schedule, and they're up a game over 500. Two more tough ones left. Then they play the Skins once, the Giants twice, the Dolphins, the Cowboys, and Miami. Should win five of six, if not run that table. So I'm kind of feeling good, and I don't love this team. I don't necessarily believe in them because I've seen them play like garbage, and I've seen them play pretty well. I still haven't seen them play 60 minutes of top-notch football. But facing virtual death twice this year, they came up huge. One in Green Bay, two in Buffalo, both games on the road, virtual must wins. I thought last week was a must-win, too. They go down 4-5 with the Patriots, the specter of the Patriots in Seattle on the horizon. They might not come back from that. So I'm bullish on the Birds. What say you? 610-632-0975. Let's go to Scotty in Barrington. My man, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Scotty?
Happy late birthday, brother.
Joe. Hey, thank you, my brother. I appreciate
it. One of your buddies gave me a little shout-out on Facebook, but hope you enjoyed your day, man.
I did. Thank you, pal.
Good, good. Let's get down to business, Brother Joe, if we may. Eagles, and I'll finish up with the Sixers. But the Eagles, give me one positive thing that Jordan Matthews brings to this team, and give me, if I'm going to sound downer, but one, if you want to say negative thing that you can maybe say about him being back.
Wait, what? Say again about the negative?
Yeah, give me one, maybe if you can't find one negative thing about Jordan Matthews being back and one positive thing that he brings to the...
Oh, you're saying, I'm sorry, I was thinking Jordan Howard when you said that.
No,
I'm
like, that's okay. With Jordan Howard? No, that's okay. Yeah, Jordan Matthews.
He's kind of better than what they have. Dallas just scored to cut the lead in half. He can contribute. I'm a little surprised he's out of football. I know he was injured, but he had a couple good years at the outset with the Eagles. Caught a big touchdown in New Orleans last year from Nick Foles. He can do some things out of the slot, you know, and maybe you move Nelson Aguilar outside, but he doesn't excite me. You know, they needed a top-flight receiver, and I get why they didn't give up picks to rent a receiver like they did Golden Tate. Turned out to be a mistake. He's just, you know, negatively, he drops too many balls. He's always dropped balls. I know he's Carson's boy, but he's a ball dropper. And, you know.
Yeah, we got that. We got that.
We have enough of those guys.
Yeah, we got that in Alshon and Aguilar.
Yeah.
As that guy said on the news with the burning building. But,
yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah, that but, hilarious. Yeah, I'm just trying to, I want to say, get myself hyped up. All in all, I can give Carson Wentz a B. I know it's been A-, because to me he's had some, you know, games where he's gone downfield and won the games where people doubted him with.
Yep.
Also he had a few games, you know, like I said, those kind of games. But all in all, I give him A-, Brother Joe. But with the Sixers, the one thing that's really making me mad with them is fundamental basketball. Definitely fundamental basketball. You had the Jazz. You had the Jazz center fouled out, and you don't do it. He had five fouls. And,
right. Didn't go after.
Didn't go after. But the turnovers is another killer.
21 tonight. 21.
Yeah. Yeah. And
way
not
too
the,
many.
Yeah. Not the nitpick, but the other night was Embiid was 8 by himself. So hopefully he can get it together, Brother Joe, like you said, the gelling part. But good talking to you, bro. Glad you enjoyed your day. And peace. God bless to you.
Love you, Scotty. Appreciate
love
it, baby.
You, bro. Peace.
Thanks, man. Scotty from Barrington getting it done as usual. The box score says 20. I was told 21. Doesn't matter. That's too many turnovers. Way too many turnovers. You know what happens in football when you turn the ball over too much? You end up on the losing end more often than not. Most of the time. They turn the ball over way too much. They don't have a closer. They don't have a sniper. They're a good squad. They have good players. They have two bona fide stars that have their flaws. One doesn't shoot. One is out of shape and isn't necessarily a dominant fourth quarter guy. Al Horford was a nice addition. When Embiid's out, they're not going to, you know, be a minus 21 in 10 minutes. Josh Richardson, okay, decent acquisition. To me, Tobias Harris, I mean, he gets paid more than Kawhi Leonard per year, believe it or not. To me, he's an okay player. He's a little better than just a guy. I know they had to keep him because he was part of the big trade, and if they got rid of him, then those trades meant nothing last year. Jimmy went to Miami, and if Tobias Harris didn't stick around, got a max deal, 5 years, $180 million. He makes more than Kawhi Leonard per year. Really? That's their max guy, Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris? He hasn't been the same three-point shooter since he's gotten here. They have some flaws. Help me out. Why this team is going to win 60 games? Why this team is the odds-on favorite to make it to the conference finals? I have Milwaukee making it to the conference finals. I need to see this team be able to shoot. And J.J. Redick not walking through that tunnel anytime soon. Jimmy Butler, same thing. The closer, the adult in the room. 610-632-0975. Drew, hang in there. Get you on the other side. Another pick six. Dallas, now the game is tied. This is unbelievable. 14-14 if they make the extra point. Kirk Cousins just threw a pick six. All right, sorry to leave you with that, but we will be back on the other side. Joe Stasek, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
So it was my birthday yesterday, and the wife had things planned for me all day, except I had to work my other job because a guy called out sick. So we moved it to today and had things planned all day. I didn't have to work till tonight at 9 o'clock. Turns out I wake up, I'm sick as a dog, still am. Chills, sweats, head cold, runny nose, maybe fever. I feel a little better right now. I injected myself with so many different kinds of cold remedies, some legal, some not, and I'm feeling better. Going to make it through this show, having a good time with all y'all. Anyway, we only made it through one event today, and I wanted to go see the movie Inside Game. I heard Tim Donaghy on doing the circuit last week, was on the Mike Missinelli show. He was an NBA official, went to Cardinal O'Hara and Villanova. I actually went to school with him. I knew him at Villanova. He was a year behind me, played intramural basketball against him. Good player. Made it to the top of his profession. He was an NBA official, and he got caught with one of his drug-dealing friends and his other line mover. I wouldn't say he was a bookie. He was a line mover, and he ended up betting on some of his own games. He claims that he never made a bad call to influence a game, but he was privy to information that others would not have been when he was in the tunnel in his dressing room watching the injuries on the other teams, who's hurting, who's pouting, who's fighting, and made some good bank that way. And then finally got caught because the dummy, his friend Baba, forget what his real name was, instead of laying out small bets and spreading it around like was the plan, starts unloading big time on certain games, and it raise red flags because the lines would move 3-4 points. He was trying to manipulate the lines, almost got whacked because of the Chinaman, a guy who was above him. He lost like $1.2 million of his dollars, and it depicts all of that from start to finish, and I liked it. I thought it was good. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't lights out, but it was good. And it wasn't the biggest scandal in the world. I think Don, he did 15 months. So did Baba. The drug dealer did, who was Scott Wolf, by the way. I haven't seen him since Party of Five. Probably could have developed him more and made him into a better character. But it was okay. I thought it was good. He still looks good for however old he is. He's got to be pretty old. Anyway, and I was joking around, texted a few friends of mine beforehand. I was like, you know, why is it I could never get in on a money-making scandal early? Anything I've ever gotten in on has been late and hasn't worked out. And no, I haven't been involved in any scandals, but I used to play the market, and I could really relate to some of the emotions that were happening in today's movie with games and lines and late free throws and late fouls and whatnot and, you know, sweating out some wins and bad beats. But my question to you is this. If you could have gotten in on any scandal in history, doesn't have to be, you know, point moving or line shaving or point shaving, any other scandal in history to make some good bank, what would it have been? And maybe get out early before you get caught. Or get caught, turn states, snitch on everybody, eat egg noodles and ketchup and be a regular schnook the rest of your life. Whichever way you want it to go. What scandal would it have been? This to me was a little flimsy. Just because you're watching a guy who may be a little bit more injured and have been indicated and who's pouting and whatnot. Now, apparently it worked to a 75% winning percentage, which is outstanding. I mean, 65 is money. 55 is not, because you're losing the vig. You have to be head and shoulders above 500 to make any money in it, and it's really tough to do if you, you know, just watch football on a regular basis. Watch the NFL. Look what happened to New Orleans today. Got crushed by Atlanta. How's that happen? Where, anyone see that coming? A one-win team crushes maybe the best team in the NFC, maybe one of the best teams in the NFL. Anyway, what scandal would it have been? By the way, it's the 100-year anniversary of the 1919 Black Sox scandal. Shoeless Joe Jackson, and Chick Gandel, and who else was part of that? Buck Weaver, although he claims he never took a dime and never made a bad play. 100 years. Joe Jackson, never back in baseball. Steve Callis wrote a great article about that, if you want to check it out, on westchestercountypost.com regarding Joe Jackson. Shoeless Joe from Hannibal Moat, 610-632-0975. So that's the side topic tonight. And if you saw the movie, call in. I want to know what you thought of it. So, you know, scandals don't usually hit that close to home. Hell, I went to school with the kid. And, you know, it crushes me that you become an NBA official. Not too many in the world. And you jeopardize that career because you want to make some extra bank. You already have a good gig. Not many people make it that far. Yeah, that's just bone crushing. 610-632-0975. Drew's been hanging in there. He's on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Drewy?
Yo, what's going on, big dog?
How are you, man?
Doing good, buddy. Just getting done watching the Sixers, now watching a little bit of the Dallas game. They actually took that touchdown back.
Yeah, so I meant 14. To say that. I looked up and saw the guy running in. It was actually, his arm was hit, Kirk Cousins was, and it turned out to be an incomplete pass. So it's still 14-7 Minnesota.
Yeah, but they're driving now, so it's not looking good.
No.
But anyway, about the Sixers, I'm with you, man. I mean, I still think they can win 55 games, but I definitely see flaws in the armor, you know, chinks in the armor there. I mean, you definitely, you know, you got a point guard who can't shoot. You got your center who definitely at times looks disengaged and, you know, doesn't want to turn it on, you know. I mean, you love seeing the shimmy dance and, you know, Joel, but unfortunately we don't get that all the time.
Right.
And it looks like Dallas might have just scored. But anyway, you know, so it's just kind of, you know, there's issues there. But, I mean, I still think, you know, due to our conference, you know, being in the East, I think that helps us out. Milwaukee, I still think is definitely a team that we have to be afraid of.
Yeah, agreed.
So I have concerns. I'm with you, Joe. I definitely have concerns. And on the same front, you know, with the Eagles, a little bit of the same. You know, there's concerns. I think, you know, our schedule definitely works out much better than Dallas's does. I could see Dallas maybe going, you know, maybe only winning three more games the rest of the year.
I could see them going 9-7. I really could.
Yeah, I thought 9-7, possibly even 8-8, you know, to really be crazy talk. You know, and if the Eagles can go 10-6, 9-7, you know, as long as we beat Dallas,
right, then make it to the playoffs.
You know, make it to the playoffs, and then anything can happen. Although, you know, without the wide receivers, you know, happening, I don't see a long playoff run happening. But, you know, as long as you make it there, you know, anything can happen.
Anything can happen, yep.
We'll see what happens, but happy belated birthday as well to you, Joe. So thanks for taking my call, man.
Thanks, Drew. Appreciate it, man. Have a great night. Love, Drew from Westchester. Always a good call. By the way, I'm giving out tickets tonight. I have two pairs of tickets to the Cage Fury Fighting Championship next Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Hard Rock Cafe in Atlantic City. I have two pairs. No real contest tonight. If I like the call, I like what you bring to the table, I'm going to offer them to you, put you on hold, get your information. Again, it's the Cage Fury Fighting Championship next Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Hard Rock Cafe in Atlantic City. And also, we have a treat for you tonight. In the last segment, we're going to have an interview with Pat Egan and Paul Capaldo. He's a local guy, an MMA guy, and he's got a big fight next week for the championship of his category. And so that's, you know, coming up in the last segment. Pat Egan did an interview with him today. He was also on today in the Green Zone. That's always a good listen, Tyrone Johnson and him. But anyway, I'm giving away a couple pairs of tickets if you are interested. Got to take another break. We'll be back. We're talking 76ers basketball. What are your concerns? I have plenty of concerns around the Sixers. You know, and I'm talking about a team built to go all the way. I don't see it at this point. I don't care if they, you know, win the conference and make it to the conference finals. I only care about winning championships. And if they fall short, then they fall short of the goal. And if they never win a championship, then the Sam Hinkie plan, you know, didn't work. I mean, I liked it and I still like it. And it's paying dividends because now they're a winning ball club. But I don't see this team being built for the long haul. I think they need to make some moves before all is said and done. And I have confidence that Elton Brand could do it. What say you? 610-632-0975. I'm Joe Stazai. We are coming right back.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey! 14-14, Dallas and Minnesota. Minnesota driving. Hey, by the way, Dallas's Roman Quinn just recorded his 7.5 sack of the season, and it got him a bonus of $878,000 for a sack, putting him over the 7-sack mark. $878,000, not bad for one play. Anyway, looks like Minnesota's going to end up trying a field goal to go up 17-14. I think Minnesota wins this game. They were up 14-0. Sixers won tonight over the Charlotte Hornets. Flyers blew a 2-goal lead late in the third. It's now 2-2, end of overtime. They are heading to a shootout, which the Flyers are the worst shootout team in the history of the galaxy. And I'm not being hyperbolic. That is true. Tells you how they lack individual talent. Worst shootout team in history. Your team, your town, your Philadelphia Flyers.
They have won a couple this year in shootouts, though.
Yeah, but they're still the worst in history.
Oh, yeah, the history is not on their side.
No, they're terrible at it. You know, and they couldn't get it done in overtime. They blew a two-goal lead. Philip Myers and Travis Konecny with goals in the first period. No scoring in the second period. And the Bruins got two in the third, one with about 6 minutes left in the game. So we'll keep an eye on that. Minnesota up 17-14. Flyers 2-2. Sixers beat the Hornets tonight by 8. 114 to 106. We've been talking 76ers basketball. I have many concerns about this team. I do not see them being a better team than last year. They still need time to mesh like they did last year. They didn't get a lot of time before the playoffs to mesh, injuries and load management issues and things like that did not allow them to play a lot together heading into the playoffs. I don't know if that had an effect or it was just the Kawhi factor. He was sensational. The quadruple bounce. I mean, it was just his year and the Raptors' year. But people have the Sixers, like, locked into the conference finals already. 60 wins, 55 wins. That would be more than last year. They had 50. I don't see it. I think they have two big superstars who are flawed. They don't have a point guard can shoot. They don't have a two guard who can shoot. They don't have anybody that can shoot. Dylan McKinnon and I were talking before the show in our quote production meeting, and he's talking about, I think you're writing an article about it, Dylan, for the website?
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Well, what was that?
Tell us about it.
Well, I was just looking into who should be the closer for the Sixers team, because they have, it's been a question all offseason. So far, we haven't quite seen anyone take the role. They had one chance to close it out. Well, actually, a couple. One successful one. They went to Furkan, and he hit it, so good for Furkan. But other than that, some people thought it was going to be Tobias Harris. He hasn't really gotten a chance to show that yet. So I just wanted to take a deep dive into each player and look at the case for them to, if they should be the closer.
Well, I'll put you on the spot. If you had one guy to call your closer, who is it? Because I know the answer you gave me in break, and I laughed when you went with Korkmaz. Is that what we're going with?
I'm not saying he should be the closer. I'm just saying he's an option because he is the best three-point shooter, and he is shooting like 48% from three. But if you're going to go with one of the starters, your best option might be what they try to do against the Nuggets and go into Embiid and hope he gets fouled.
That was my closer. I mean, because they don't have a sniper, and why not be a big guy who can go inside and either score the ball or get fouled?
Yeah, because Ben, you can't go to Ben until he gets a jump shot.
Right.
Josh Richardson, I'm sorry.
Okay.
He hasn't really shown a proclivity for being clutch so far in his career. I mean, I looked at his stats, actually kind of bad. He's shooting like 3-10 in the last 5 minutes of close games for his career, so he's not an option. Tobias Harris, maybe. Tobias Harris is a decent shooter. He might be your best option from three. Or Al Horford, actually, 48% from three in the last 5 minutes of close games.
Yeah.
But maybe you can't go to Al Horford.
If you got to go to Al Horford, then you got problems.
And by the way, the Flyers won the shootout.
Did they?
Yes.
How about
three
that?
Shootout wins this season, I think.
Oh, okay. Resurrecting themselves from the dark depth.
It's got a long way to go.
Oh, my God. They have a long way to go. But that's good. All right. Get 2 points tonight for Le Flyer. I like it. Dylan, good job, man. I look forward to it. When will that article be live?
I'm thinking Tuesday.
Tuesday. All right. We'll look for it, bro. I wrote an article on Monday. I write one every week. On Monday, I talked about how the Eagles fans should temper their expectations. You know, killing a team over back-to-back wins, one, the latest being at home when you manhandled a pretty good defensive team, ran all over them, And right out of the gate, they're getting hammered, and there's doom and gloom, and which people refer to me as, and I was pretty optimistic. And I'm just saying, listen, they're not a Super Bowl team. They're just not. So as long as we keep thinking they're a Super Bowl team and they're falling short of that, you're going to be miserable for the next 7 weeks. Just realize what they are. They're an average team to an above average team. And they can make a run. They're capable of making a run. But are they built to win the whole thing? See, we were led to believe that they were in the preseason, and I got sucked in as well. The biggest reason this team is only 5-4, it's not because of their cornerbacks. It's not because of their lack of pressure. It's not because of their wide receivers. There is an overall lack of talent to this team. They're under-talented. Plain and simple. That's it. Go up and down the roster. Not too many impact guys. Not too many playmakers, especially on defense. Who's your playmaker on offense? Jordan Howard has been. 7 touchdowns. The guy just finds the end zone. I was so thrilled when they acquired him. And now I'm super thrilled that they're finally pounding him. 4.4 yards per carry. He has been the offensive MVP of this team. I'm thrilled about it. Because I love the move, and I laughed at people who said that his numbers are declining. I mean, you know, technically that was accurate, but he's 24 years old. It's not like he's 36 and they're declining. Morons. 610-632-0975. We're talking 76ers basketball. Also, Eagles, I'm optimistic. I'm a little bullish on the Eagles. I'm a little bearish on the 76ers. Despite a win tonight over Charlotte, 114-106. 3 straight losses. That's your championship team? 3 straight losses? By a total of 10 points? Couldn't close those games out? Flaws all over the place? Not as good as last year? In my opinion. It's a shooter's league. They don't have shooters. How are you going to win without shooters? Anyway, we'll talk about it on the other side. Marcus Hayes, by the way, coming up at 10:10. Steve Callis coming up at around 10:28. And, of course, we'll have the Pat Egan interview with MMA star Paul Capaldo in the last segment of the show about 11:45 tonight. I'm Joe Stazak, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm here till midnight. We're coming right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.